Please, Matthew 28. Actually, I should say that. I told this in Rensselaer Church before we start. We're just in deputation for a month, so we don't have any horror stories yet. But we do, the very first church we went to, there's like 10 people there. And we left there, we drove somewhere else. And about after an hour after we left, I get a call. And it's the pastor from the first church. He's like, "Brother, are you missing anything?" I said, "No, I don't think so." He's like, "Well, there's a couple Bibles here." And so we figured, he said, "You left your Bible at our church." So he figured out it was Joab's Bible. So I was yelling at him. He's like, you're responsible for your own Bible. You can't be leaving it home or at the church. You can't do that anymore because we're not driving back. We're not getting it. You're responsible for your own Bible." I was like, "Okay." Next day, I woke up in the morning. I was like, "Where's my Bible?" "It's at the church." "It's at the church." I was like, "Never mind, Joab. Mom's responsible for all our Bibles." So I felt kind of like a hypocrite there. And there's this other one where we actually weren't even on deputation yet. Our board is BIMI, which is it's kind of a bigger board, and they're fancy, and they're kind of high, like. So we go there register in the afternoon, and that evening, say, go to any Baptist church you want to in Chattanooga. I was, "Oh, that's not a big deal." I didn't realize there's 100 Baptist churches in Chattanooga. So I ask all my friends, like, Where are you going? I said, "Oh, we're going to Lakewood. I said, "Okay." So we're getting ready. I jump in the car. I told Jen, I said, "What was that name again?" She goes, "It was Lake something. I can't remember." I said, "Well, just punch in the GPS or look it online. We'll find it." She said, "Lake Way." I said, "Oh, that sounds right. Let's go." So we pull in the driveway. We get in the church, and we're like, "We're not in the right place." Everyone there had their finest Dale Earnhardt t-shirts on, their finest ripped jeans on, their nicest Cabela hats. Like, we are not in the right place. We said, and they're up on the and the preacher comes over. He's like, "How are y'all doing?" He's like, "That's my son." And his son walks by. I knew I was in trouble because he had the Cabela's hat with all the ripped pants. I'm like, "Man, this is not right." And they're up on the platform doing their guitars and their banjos. And I was like, "That's fine. I can handle that." And then we start singing. And I didn't realize it, but the preacher's son had the drum set behind the piano. He's like, "Bam!" He's just sitting there shredding on the drums. And Jensen, they're going, "This is wrong. This is wicked. We need to go." I told Dennis I was fine until the guy that looked like Barney Fife started jumping up and dancing. That's when I lost it. It's like, "We got to go now." So the preacher gets up and be like, "Turn around, give everyone a hug." And so we jumped up. We just left right then. We're like, "We're gone." Like, we're not doing this. I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, "Oh, man, we're going to get kicked out of BIMI before we even get in there, and we're going to embarrass Pastor Sal." But we got out of there before they could get us, before they could give us a big hug. Matthew 28:19. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Now Jesus said in Mark 16:15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." It says it in Luke 14:13, John 15:16, we're always commanded to go. And now we always think it's someone else's job to go. It's the missionary's job to win souls. It's the pastor's job. It's the deacon's job. But actually, if you're a Christian, you're called of God to be a witness for the Lord. I know when I was younger, I always knew I was going to be a missionary. I always knew it. But I always thought I didn't have to win souls until I got to the field. That's just how it went. I didn't need to try to witness now. I didn't need to tell others about Jesus Christ now. But if you look in Acts 1:8, it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." See, a lot of times this Acts 1:8 is like a pattern how we're supposed to do it. We kind of get consumed with the uttermost parts of the earth, and a lot of time we forget our neighbors. We forget the people where we work with. We forget the people across the street. So that's what we're supposed to do. Every single one of us is called to win souls for the Lord. We're supposed to replicate ourselves. We're supposed to let Jesus Christ shine through us. Now, when I was working, I worked a lot. I worked 70 hours, and I would think, "I don't have time to witness. I don't have time. I don't have time. I don't want to witness. I just want to do my job and get home." And you think you have to witness for 20 minutes every single time, and you don't. That's why tracts. That's why tracts are wonderful, because like I said this morning, you don't have to talk to people. You just say, "Here you go," and then you walk away. But tracts are wonderful. I firmly believe you should. If you're out and about, if you leave the house that day, you should pass out a tract. If you're not home. Why are we not witnessing for the Lord? Every single day I'd stop and get gas, and I'd say the same thing every single day. The kid, actually, I said it so much, the kid that worked for me would say it. I'd be sitting there pumping gas, and someone would pull into the pump next to me. I'd say, look, Ethan, they want a track. They didn't know they wanted a track, but they wanted a track because they pulled right next to me. So I'd always pass out tracks every single day. Sometimes I turned you down, but that's not my fault. I just tried showing Jesus Christ through me. But my pastor, Pastor Sal, always says, if you were in court and the charge was being a Christian, is there enough evidence to convict you? Do your neighbors know that you're a Christian? Do they know that you leave Sunday morning, Sunday evening, or Sunday afternoon, and Wednesday evening go to church? Or do we live our life at church one way, and then we go home and we just kind of do our thing and yell and scream at the kids and just do all this other stuff? That's not how we're supposed to be. We're called to a higher standard. We're Christians, and we don't put ourselves on a pedestal, but God has called us to a higher standard, to live above the world. And if we're just out there living like the world, we're not doing our job. If we're not out there witnessing and we're not preaching, we're not pleasing the Lord. We see in Acts 1:8, Jesus is, he's just talking to the disciples. It's the disciples' job. It's the church leader's job. It's all of our jobs. It's all of our jobs. Matthew 5:14 says that we're the light of the world. Now, I'm the light. The world is pitch dark. It's full of sin and wickedness everywhere, and I'm the light, and you're the light. And why are we out there? The Bible says don't cover it with a bushel. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your Father. Jesus Christ, excuse me, I want Jesus Christ to show through my life. I want Jesus Christ to show through me, through my wife, through my kids. That should be our goal. You know, we all have skeletons. Everyone has skeletons in the closet. Don't let Jesus Christ be a skeleton in your closet. Let him be out there, out right in front of everyone. Let him be the leader of your family. I want my neighbors, we have a burden for the Panamanians. I want to go to Panama and win souls. But I also have a burden for Andy and Tina, my neighbors that live across the street. We keep witnessing, we keep talking to them, we keep trying to get them to go to church, and they're not coming yet. But I have a burden for Andy and Tina. And I have a burden for Robert and Brandy on the other side of me, and Ernie on the other side of me. I want my neighbors to get saved. And every one of us should want our neighbors to get saved. Whoever your neighbor is, if you're neglecting your neighbor, if you're neglecting the people across the street, if you're neglecting your coworkers, that's a sin. It really is. If you're not out witnessing for the Lord, that's a sin. Bible commands us. Jesus Christ, he said it in every single gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, he said it in Acts. Go and preach. Go. Go out of the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Go. Preach. Preach. Go. Go. Preach. And if Jesus said it that many times, I don't think it's really an option. It's a commandment. And when God gives us a command, we look at the Ten Commandments and you know, those are the Ten Commandments we have to live by and we don't need any other commandment. Jesus commanded us to go. Go. Go and preach the gospel. If you go to Psalm 96, I say this pretty much every time I preach, and I believe it. You should read your Bible every single day. In my read my Bible, I try to, if I see something that interests me or something I find, I write it down. I write it down. And I came across Psalm 96, I think it was last year I did that, and I jotted a note down in my notebook how much I liked the Psalm. And a few months ago, we were at Hope at our church. We hadn't started deputation yet, and we were in Sunday school. And I was flipping through my notebook for some reason, and I saw I'd written Psalm 96 down. And so I just stopped listening, and I started reading it. And I thought, man, this is a good psalm. I liked it. I really liked this. This is my favorite psalm. And then, after Sunday school is over, and Hope does this maybe twice a year, Pastor John will read a psalm before we start singing. He almost never does it. And he gets up, and guess what he starts reading? He starts reading Psalm 96. So, Lord, maybe I should put like a little lesson together about this, because it wasn't a coincidence. I don't believe in coincidences. I think God did that on purpose. So I want to read Psalm 96. It says, "O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth. Now I realize that this is Old Testament, different dispensation. But you do realize, do you see what God's telling? God's telling David? God was still supposed to praise the Lord then. He's supposed to tell the heathen about God. He's supposed to go out and witness. He's supposed to give unto the Lord. Now, look at verse 8. It says, give unto the Lord glory due unto his name. Now, we say give. What's the first thing we think of? We think money, right? We think give. No. How about we give the Lord our glory? How about we just give the Lord our strength? It said, give unto the Lord glory due his name. You ever have bills due? The Lord is due some glory. The Lord is due some honor. And when we're witnessing, we are giving the Lord our rent. We're giving him glory. We're giving him honor. Jesus Christ is worthy. Like I said this morning, he's worthy. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come to his courts. It says in verse 10, say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The Catholic Church, now I know we're all nowadays it's wrong to say, or it's bad to hate on other religions. The Catholic Church is heathen. It's straight up heathen. All they care about is money, prestige, and whatever they want, and covering up all their sins. That's all they care about. And that's who we're going down there. And I realize we're not fighting the Catholic Church, we're fighting the devil. But we are trying to fight the Catholic Church also. The Catholic Church has such a stronghold on Spanish-speaking America, on Central America. And we're just trying to win some souls from the devil. Trying to win souls for the Lord. I used to have a customer in Indiana. My dad always talked about him a lot. His name was Jerry Feldhaus. And he was a staunch, staunch Catholic. And probably every other month, maybe every third month, him and I would get in a big, long discussion. He'd always try to get me to go to Mass, and I always try to get him to go to church. And neither one of us ever succeeded. But he was talking to me one time, and he asked me, he said, so, how do you go to heaven? Tell me how you believe you go to heaven. So I told him, the Bible says, if I confess my sins, you know, if I call upon the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I shall be saved. And he looked at me and said, you poor boy, you're so blind. Or blind, or so confused. He said, you're so confused. And I said, well, how do you go to heaven? And he told me, and I told him, I said, the Bible says, say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. He said, you call me heathen? I said, you're not saved. But the Catholic Church is heathen. And when he died, Jerry felt like he never got saved, which I'm very sad about. When he died, his wife was a Christian. She told me that he gave $10,000 to Catholic Church so he didn't have to go to purgatory. That's what we're dealing with. Catholic Church, they don't care about those people. Say, if you go down there, I'm not exaggerating, you go to this tiny little broken down village where the huts are awful, and you have this nice, nice, lavish Catholic church there. We were in a Catholic church that was built in 1500. And there was gold inlaid up on the altar. It was beautiful. If you're into worldly beauty, it's beautiful. But I'm not into worldly beauty. I'm into what Jesus Christ says is right. I'm into trying to win souls for Jesus Christ. So we're out there trying to win the heathen. And the heathen don't just live in Panama. The heathen don't live in Africa or just in Africa. The heathen live across the street. The heathen live right next door to you. So if we're not out there, if we're not giving glory, if we're not bragging on our Lord Jesus Christ, if we're not out trying to win souls, we're wrong. And you hate to say just... Hey, just no black and white, you're wrong. You're wrong. If I don't witness, I'm wrong. If I'm not winning my friends, my co-workers, if I'm not witnessing to them, I'm wrong. The world should know that you're a Christian. I ref a lot of basketball games back in Ohio, and I was known as a Christian official. They knew me, I was a Christian. And a lot of them would make sure they didn't cuss around. They wouldn't cuss around me. They wouldn't talk filthy around me because they knew I was a Christian. And I tried to win some of them to the Lord. And I had, there's one, two guys who were good buddies, or three of us were good buddies, and we travel everywhere together. And one guy had, he said he was a Christian, but he had a real filthy mouth. But he'd always cuss, and he'd go, oh, Brent's here, I can't cuss. And they'd always joke about holy water, because he was Episcopalian, they have holy water. So he'd always joke about holy water. So we had a spray bottle one time. And we'd rotate driving together. So if we drove far, I'd drive, and then next guy would drive, and it was my turn to drive. And Jason gets in the car, and he starts cussing, and he goes, oh, wait, I'm in Brent's car, so I can't cuss. I told him, I said, that's all right, I got holy water. I started spraying them down, like, just spraying them all down. And they were laughing, but they knew I was a Christian. And does the world know you're a Christian? Do your neighbors know you're a Christian? They know that if they want to know about Jesus Christ, they came to me. And I had a friend, Aaron is his name, never did get saved, but we talked. We had a lot of talks. He was Catholic. He's still Catholic. We had a lot of talks about Jesus Christ, about the Catholic Church, and about the Bible. He never did get saved. I'll ask if you guys would pray for Aaron. I'd like to witness to him sometime. But that's my job. You know, say reffing was a fun thing I did. I liked it, enjoyed it. But that's just a hobby. I had a job to do before I got there, and that was witnessing to my partners. I have a job to do. We have a job to go to Panama and witness, but we also have a job to witness before we get down there. And every one of you have a job to witness for the Lord. So I just wanted to encourage you about that. Try to be better witnesses for the Lord. Try to turn your town around. You have the 12 disciples. Do you realize that 12 men turn the entire world around? It's not like we need every single person here just go to the one person, witness to him, and move to the next. It just takes one. It just takes one. 12 men turn the entire world around. Just one of us can turn Lowell around. Just one of us can turn Indiana around. But if we're not out witnessing, if we're not out doing our job, it's not going to turn around. So we just need to do our job for the Lord. Dear Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for these people here that have come out here on a Sunday afternoon, Lord. They've come to hear from your word. Lord, we ask you if you just help us to be a better witness, to be a better testimony for you, Lord. Lord, I ask you if you just give us some souls to be won for you so we can just enlarge your kingdom, Lord. We ask if you just come back really soon. Ask if you just show yourself king to this wicked world. Ask if you just reign eternally. If it is your will, in your name, amen.